The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Once upon a time in Radioland, a towering man strode to a silver microphone and announced to the world these words.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am that announcer, and my name is Todd Wilkerson. And this is the show I announce.
I'm announcing it right now, in fact.
And you have a front row seat to history.
Here's Eric.
Thanks, Todd. You're a pal. Real pal. Thanks. Folks, I hope you listened to my first hour with James Tour, Dr. James Tour, nano engineer, scientist, messianic Jew. What aren't you, Jim? You really are. You're an extraordinary figure. It's fun to talk to you. Last night we were at the Carnegie Deli with Mitch Glazer, kibitzing. That's the word that I would use.
Not Carnegie Deli.
What did I say? Oh, Second Avenue. Hey, it's New York. We got a few good Jewish delis. We were at the Second Avenue Deli, which is no longer on Second Avenue, but who's counting? And we were joking around, and I thought, what could be more fun than joking around with you guys, talking about science and faith? And I mean, you know, I just enjoyed it. And in the middle of the lunacy, you were saying some extraordinary things. One of the things you were talking about, which we touched on in our previous hour, is how the research that's being done in quote unquote origins of life, you know, that the idea that there was a primordial soup, and that suddenly out of this primordial soup over time, some molecules kind of assembled themselves, and next thing you know, we have simple life. You say that is now provably absurd. And you're calling for the shutting down of research into this field.
That's right. I'm proposing a moratorium on origin of life research because it's getting nowhere. When things get nowhere, then you for a long time, then you have to reassess whether you're even going in the right direction. If I may give just a simple little example, alchemists used to think that they could turn inexpensive metals into gold.
Like lead.
Right, like lead. They had learned that if you take iron and you add sulfur to it, you could get lustrous compounds that look very much like gold. It's called lead sulfide, but it was fool's gold.
Is that what fool's gold is?
Yes, lead sulfide. And so they thought, let's keep adding sulfur to different metals, and the metals would turn somewhat more and more yellow as the more added more sulfur. And so they thought they were on the right track. But they weren't on the right track at all.
Don't you think, honestly, if they just had a little more funding and a little more time, they would have cracked that nut?
That's probably certainly what they thought.
Right.
And that's what happens when the fundamentals are wrong. until we start addressing the fundamentals of life and how to assemble these things, we're going down the wrong path. So I'm calling for a moratorium, and let's step back, because there was an experiment done in 1952 by Miller and Urey.
That's the famous experiment.
The famous experiment.
It was in all my textbooks growing up. It's probably still in textbooks.
It's still in textbooks.
The famous Miller 1952 Miller and Urey experiment.
And nothing has happened since. So that's 66 years ago, two-thirds of a century. In that same amount of time, we've had human spaceflight. In that same amount of time, we have satellite interconnectivity. We have the internet. We have all the DNA advances that we have. And zero, nothing has happened to move us closer to life.
Now, when you say nothing, you mean actually nothing.
I mean actually nothing. They'll make what they say is a protocell, which is a total misnomer. It's just a bunch of assemblies into a liposome that has nothing to do with a real cell. It's not living.
A bunch of assemblies into a liposome? That's preposterous. This is why I always have to interrupt, because I want to make sure my audience is tracking. I need to track. Take us back. When you talk about origins of life, what are they saying they're trying to do? They are taking what? What's the raw material?
All right. So they're taking small compounds that were presumed to be here on a prebiotic Earth, on a prebiology Earth.
Like what?
Hydrogen cyanide, formaldehyde, acetic acid.
Okay.
Small organic molecules.
And you're saying that it's reasonable to expect that those molecules could have existed and could have come into being randomly.
They could have come into being, right, by these meteorites that were hitting the Earth, that were leaving large amounts of carbon materials.
Okay.
Those are the compounds that would result after a blast.
Okay, so far so good. In other words, it's reasonable to assume that these compounds that you have mentioned did in fact exist. It's not absurd to think that they existed. But you're saying that now, in order to get life in the prebiotic soup, these compounds that exist or can be presumed to have existed need to do what?
They need to form four different classes of molecules are needed for life.
Four?
Four different classes, right. You need the lipids. You need the amino acids, which are the precursors to proteins. You need the nucleic acids, which is what makes up DNA and RNA. And you need carbohydrates, which are the backbones for DNA and RNA and all our energy molecules.
So you're telling me I need carbohydrates?
You need those or you're going to die.
Okay. Because tonight I was planning to have just a little bread with my meal and I feel better. Now, you're telling me that you need these four things, otherwise life cannot come into existence. You said carbohydrates. You said nucleic acids. You said
lipids.
Lipids and amino acids.
Yes.
Okay. So these four things. Of those four, which is the simplest?
Probably the lipids.
Okay. I've always been told that we needed the amino acids. I've not really heard about the other three, that the amino acids are the building blocks of life. And I've heard people like Stephen Meyer talk about how complex they are, how difficult they are to assemble. I don't know where you want to come at this from. You want to talk about lipids?
Well, you asked me for the simplest. The simplest are probably lipids. So what I did is I took the simplest of the structures, lipids, and I said, okay, let's do the Gedanken experiment, the mind experiment. How would we make a cell from these lipids? And I'll even give you the lipids. Many of them are in homochiral form, which means that they come in two-handedness, either directly or as an intermediate. So two hands, your left hand and your right hand, are mirror images to one another. But they don't infuse one into another. So in other words, you cannot put your right hand into a left-handed glove. Even though it's the same size, it's the different mirror image.
Yeah.
All of those compounds have this sort of relationship, this mirror image relationship, either directly as the compound itself or as an intermediate to that compound. Very hard to do that in a modern laboratory. How do you do it on a prebiotic Earth? There's many conjectures on how this was done, and then we go in the lab and we try those, and it doesn't work very well.
Okay, but you said all four of these simple structures are necessary for a cell.
Yes.
All four are necessary.
Yes.
To create the simplest single cell.
Right. And what is the simplest structure within a cell? People will say, well, it's the cell membrane. That we can see that it would form. But what I showed them is, no, that's not true at all. Because if you look at the cell membrane, which is the outer housing of a cell, the lipids can assemble into the outer housing of a cell. But it's not just one lipid type. There's over 40,000 different types of lipids that have been identified in cells. And then you have this broad array of sugars or carbohydrates hanging off of them, which are the receptors which identify a cell. If you change the structure of just one of those carbohydrates slightly, the cell dies. And just simple little carbohydrates of, say, six of them put together can have 1 trillion different possibilities of how they would attach to each other. So there's huge problems with even the Gedanken experiment, the basic experiment, the thought experiment on how to do this.
So how do scientists who are in this field ask for funding? I mean, it sounds ridiculous. I'm a layman, obviously, not a scientist. But how do they – what do they say?
So they're caught up in something that they've been doing all along, and they think that this is the way it's done. And my argument is, no, your students are being taught the wrong way. The fundamentals are all wrong. You guys are going to have to stop and step back because what you're going at is wrong. And the projections that you have made in describing these things and saying that you have gotten very close to life or these are the precursors to life is wrong. You've never shown that. It's never been demonstrated. Real problems with it.
So it's the kind of stuff that people say to get funding.
Yeah, these are good folks. I don't want to give you the
idea. No. Well, you and I would do the same thing. You try to put a happy face on it because you're very hopeful and you're not. You don't think you're kidding yourself. But you're saying at the end of the day, we spent enough time and it has failed.
It's not working.
We're going to be back, folks, talking to James Tour. His website is jmtour, T-O-U-R, jmtour.com. We'll be right back.
What if every Christian discovered that their favorite hero of the faith held to some false and even shocking views? In his new book, Regrace, best-selling author Frank Viola uncovers some of the shocking beliefs held by faith giants like Luther, Augustine, and C.S. Lewis. He challenges us all to engage with fellow believers more graciously, even when we disagree. Regrace is available now, wherever books are sold.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
Coming to theaters for 3 days only. Patterns of Evidence, The Moses Controversy.
The Lord said to Moses, write this in a book.
A new documentary follows investigative filmmaker Timothy Mahoney's faith-affirming journey throughout the Middle East in search of scientific evidence that Moses wrote the first books of the Bible.
So the question is the Bible a literal story of God acting in history?
Patterns of Evidence, The Moses Controversy. In theaters March 14th, 16th, and 19th only. For tickets, go to patternsofevidence.com/Moses.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper in credit card debt? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management will consolidate your accounts and work with your creditors. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976. The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time, so that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt, and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Have you ever seen a pest controller spraying chemicals in your home? It makes you wonder, if their chemicals are safe, then why do they suit up and wear respirators only to leave you to walk back in unprotected? G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest-Free, and I'm here to tell you there's a better way. In an age where we now have the choice to drive electric cars, you too can electronically rid your home or business of unwanted rodents and pests. The answer is Plug-In Pest-Free. 100% chemical-free, Plug-In Pest-Free is your safest bet for your family and pets. Our bestseller, the Plug-In Pest-Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. So order yours today at gopestfree.com. Use promo code RADIO20 for 20% off plus free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's gopestfree.com, promo code RADIO20. Don't spray and regret, Plug-In and forget. GoPestFree.com today.
Oh, Lord Moses, I have been removed. I have seen the specter. He has been here too. Distant cousin from down the line. Brand of people who
folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Dr. James Tour, nano engineer. Jim, how do you describe yourself? If somebody says to you, what do you do? Who are you? I mean, how do you sum it up?
I say I'm an organic chemist, and I'm working in the area of nanotechnology.
Okay. So to reiterate, you're really saying that this research into the origins of life, we've now spent 66 years, it's going nowhere, and we really, to be fair, we have to stop and we have to rethink the whole approach.
Yes.
What do you think the response is going to be to this? It doesn't seem to me that it's going to be well received at all.
Those who are caught in it, those who do this for a living, will not like to receive this word if I'm calling for a moratorium on the funding for their work. But that's what needs to be done, because there's utter deception that has gone on. You look in any textbook, and they'll show you some pool, some prebiotic pool, and molecules assembling and then little slithering creatures coming out of that pool. And everybody grows up saying, oh, well, scientists understand how life formed. So people have the wrong idea. And now it's no longer just school children and their teachers. It is in the academy. There are professors that think this, and even science professors, because I'll poll my colleagues. I say, what is the origin of carbohydrates? How were they made? Oh, they say, oh, these were all made through the foremost reaction. And then I'll start looking into the foremost reaction, what's been done. And it's a bunch of nonsense. You can't make them. And so I show them this, and they're flabbergasted. There is a real misunderstanding even among science professors, because they've grown up with this understanding that it's all well understood. And so what happens is it's continually told to us, and we grow up thinking this way. So there's a lot that we really don't know when you look at the details of it.
So in other words, what you're saying is people are skating along on assumptions that they've never bothered to look into, because they feel that it would be maybe awkward to question these assumptions that everyone else assumes?
Well, I think that they don't question it because they're busy. They have a lot of emails to answer. They're into their own work. So if you're not exactly in that field, you don't know it, but you are deferring to the experts.
Right.
And the experts keep projecting things that aren't true at all.
Have you called publicly for a moratorium on this kind of research?
I have exposed this research in a couple of articles that I've written that are noted on my website. But
where are they?
Both of those were published in the online journal Inference.
Inference.
So if you just Google James Tour Inference, and then they'd come up. Or on my website, I have a page that's called that's called evolution creation or evolution origin of life,
right?
And under the personal topics tab, and there I cite those articles. But the next article that will be published soon is where I'm calling for a moratorium. I'm saying, look, ladies and gentlemen, we've had enough of this. It's going to have to stop, and here's the reasons why.
When will that article be published, roughly speaking?
Within the next two months.
So, okay. So I guess people will hear it on this show before the article appears, that you are calling for a moratorium on origins of life research.
That is correct.
When you say that you're calling for a moratorium on it, are you hoping that people will be willing to have an honest discussion about this? In other words, is that the suggestion that we need to pause and have an honest discussion that in fact we've come up with nothing and we need to rethink it? I mean, you said that, but is that what you're hoping for?
Yes, and there are prime problems, fundamental problems. So one of them, for example, is information. What is the information? So even if I were to give you all the four compounds of life that I mentioned to you, and you have them in all pure compounds, can you make a cell? And the answer is no. And that's one of the articles that I published. Nobody can make a cell from these things. And then I even said, now you can even have the DNA and RNA in the code that you want, whatever it is. So even if I give them the code, what's the code? A code is this. A code in simple terms is you have either a box of alphabetic letters or you have the Library of Congress. The Library of Congress has a lot of stored information there.
Right.
The box of alphabetic letters has almost no stored information in it. So even if you had all the nucleic acids, how do you get the code? What is the code for life that you put in it?
Scientists who are listening understand what you're saying, but most people like me have to struggle. Let me see if I'm tracking. You're saying, first of all, that we know that you need these four, what are you calling them when you talk about?
Four basic compounds for life.
Four basic compounds for life, amino acids, peptides, nucleic acids, and carbohydrates.
Lipids.
Lipids,
so,
I'm sorry.
So the amino acids form peptides, so that's in the same category.
Okay, so you need those four. And you're saying to come up with one of those four itself has never been done and is basically impossible to do through random processes.
Well, in high yield, in homochiral, with the chirality that's needed, with the handedness that is needed of the proper hand, and in any streamline event where you can get enough of it to do anything with. That's right.
What? You have to forgive me.
I'm doing the best I can.
I'm willing to parade my ignorance before the world. Okay, so in any case, you're saying, all right, let's say we've already got those four. Yes. We've got them. Now, the point is to say we've got them is a joke because we ain't got them. But you're saying, I'll give you that.
No, we do have them, but we've gotten them from natural sources.
Well, no, obviously.
Right.
What I'm saying is that we've never, you know, when you start there, you're already cheating. It's like saying, I'm going to give you a three-lap head start, okay? So you want to quibble over the length of a car, I'm going to give you three-lap head start, and now we're going to race. And so you're saying that. So forget about how all of these four things came into being. Forget it. Done. I'll give it to you. Now, how do those four things assemble into a cell? You're telling me that even given that, we don't know how those four things can become a cell.
That's right. And no scientists would ever say that we can make a cell because they're clueless. How do you get those to assemble? This is where my background helps me a lot because I'm not just a synthetic organic chemist, but I work in the area of nanotechnology where we actually have to construct devices out of these molecular entities. Very few people do both, make the molecules and construct the device. So how are you going to construct the device out of these entities should I give them to you? Nobody knows how to construct a cell. Nobody from these basic four components. Nobody knows how to do this.
In the origin of life research that's been going on, are they trying to, in other words, which part of this or all parts of this are they focusing on? Are they focusing on how to create these four things, or are they talking about how to create a cell? What are they talking about?
They're focusing on the easiest part, and that is the cell membrane, the sac around the cell, which is made up of what's called a lipid bilayer. You take the lipids and you have those assemble into a sac. That is the part that they're focusing on now.
But that's like baby talk compared to, like, we're talking about Shakespeare compared to Goo Goo and Gaga.
Right. I mean, but the baby talk they've not even accomplished. That's what I'm saying. They will say that they've accomplished it, but it is so far from what a real cellular membrane needs that it's not even real.
But of course, they're playing devil's advocate. They would say, "Well, we'll get there. We're working on it, right?" I mean, isn't this a little bit like what you hear in a lot of scientific fields? That when you're talking to people who are Darwinian evolutionists, they say, "Well, you know, we've got the right model. We've got some trouble, but we're going to keep going because we're figuring stuff out. You know, we'll discover an Archaeoraptix, and like Bob's your uncle, we're all set. Now we know that dinosaurs are linked to birds." We just need more time. And you're saying, no, you're looking in the wrong direction. You're climbing up a ladder that's leaning against the wrong building. You're wasting your time and a lot of people's money.
Yes, I'd rather not use the analogy that you just used with evolution, because that's a whole different set of things that can come in. I'd rather just stick with this one. What they have made, what they have done is not really a lipid bilayer membrane that looks anything like a real cell. Right. Nothing like it. And then when I start calling into question, here's this piece, how are you going to address any of these? They never address it. And then they start calling these little sacks of nonsense that they've made proto-cells. And then before you know it, the press picks it up and says they've made cells. Right. And so everybody gets the wrong idea.
It is actually funny that they could talk about these little, as you put it, sacks of nothing, and dare to call them proto-cells, because there's an implication there. There's a strong implication which ends up being a false implication.
That's correct.
I mean, that's like calling my blue blazer a proto-human or a proto-carcass. I mean, not really. Fascinating. We're learning a lot talking to Dr. James Tour. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Stick around.
Be a friend of mine.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump's former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, filed a lawsuit claiming the Trump Organization broke a promise to pay his legal bills and owes at least $1.9 million to cover the cost of his defense. Ex-Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort is expected to learn how much time he'll serve in prison for tax and bank fraud today. The 69-year-old Manafort is set to appear in U.S. District Court in Alexandria, Virginia. Chinese telecom giant Huawei is suing the U.S. government over a budget provision that bars the government and contractors from using its equipment on security grounds. Russian lawmakers have passed legislation that imposes restrictions on online media and criminalizes anyone who insults the state. The bill introduces fines for publishing material showing disrespect to the state. This is SRN News.
Your family depends on your income, and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hey, Mike, how's the house coming along?
Needs a ton of work. The pipes are leaking. Needs a new roof. The AC just broke. I just don't have time to do it all myself. You know anyone?
Oh, just ask Home Advisor. They match you with the best local pros for any home project.
Cool.
Yeah, you can read reviews and book appointments online.
What's it cost?
Actually, Home Advisor is always free to use.
Nice. I'll check it out.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
You wouldn't put a square peg in a round hole, so why would you deploy a traditional firewall in a modern decentralized network? Firewalls have new requirements for businesses leveraging SaaS-based applications and public cloud platforms like AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud. We're in the cloud generation now, so your firewalls have to be engineered to fit right in. Reclaim your cloud network. Try a Barracuda Cloud Generation Network or Application Firewall free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
A little Sly and the Family Stone, courtesy of my engineer, Eric Hansen. Life. We're talking about life with Dr. James Tour. Jim, this is, you know, for me and most of my audience, this is heavy stuff because we took chemistry in high school and that was it. So I'm trying to understand here, when you talk about the creation of a cell, we were all taught that a simple single cell is really simple. You're saying it's anything but simple.
It's anything but simple. And even if we were to give you these four different compounds of life, how do you assemble them into a cell? You can't just throw them into a bag. You can't just throw them, even if you had the memory, you can't just pump this stuff in there. There's a whole assembly, intricate assembly. It would be like taking all the parts that make up a car and throwing them all into a box and saying, you see, I have a car. No, there's an assembly, an intricate assembly that goes on.
And so it's like inventing a fender and saying it's a proto car.
Yes. Yes.
And you're saying no.
And even your fender is not a real fender. Your fender doesn't even resemble the real fender. So they'll call it a proto cell or an extant cell. And they will suggest these sort of things. And it's not right. And so the analogy that I used is if I buy 20 pounds of sliced turkey meat and I pour in some chicken broth and I heat it all up. And I stick in a few feathers. Is a turkey going to pop out of that thing? That's exactly what they suggest with the cells. We know a turkey's not going to pop out. Why? Because there's a whole connectivity to a turkey. You have all these different parts that have to fit together properly. This is exactly what we have to do. We have no idea how to assemble a cell. So we're clueless on this. People have taken the genome out of one cell and put it into another. You see, we made a cell. No, you already had a cell. You took its genome out, its little computer controlling chip out, and you put in another one from another cell. Another one from another cell that you've designed and copied another cell and put it in there. That's not making a cell. Nature didn't have that in a prebiotic Earth.
Okay. A cell is by definition alive.
Yes, and it's the basic, most fundamental component of life. Okay. We are made up of many, many cells stuck together.
If cells are made up of what you've just described, there are these four – I keep forgetting the word you use. These four
– compounds.
Okay. These four different kinds of compounds. You throw them together. Let's say you do throw them together in the right order and connectivity, which is tremendously complex. At what point – do we say that it's life? In other words, what I'm really asking you is, what is life?
So when you put those things together all in the right place, we don't even know what is that spark that's just begun.
We don't know.
We don't know. We have
you
no
don't
idea.
Know. I don't know. No one knows.
Nobody knows. In fact, I even had this. I even called together a group of scientists. My children were around. They were younger. And I said, watch what I'm going to do. I said, I have a cell. It's just died. What did I just lose, and what would I have to do to bring it back to life? And they all started arguing among themselves. They couldn't even decide what it is that was just lost that caused it to die. We don't understand the spark of life. So even if you put them all together, we don't even know how to start life.
Okay, but when we're talking about life, we can all, I guess, imagine a cell, a nucleus, vaguely. We have a vague idea of what a cell is. What to you makes it alive?
So it has to have a metabolism. It has to be able to take certain molecules and convert this into energy for running the cell, all the functions within that cell. And so how do you start this process off? We don't know how to do it.
So if you have a cell, and I imagine cells are quite large to you since you're working with atoms, so so cells, you know, something that you can deal with. So let's say you have a cell. What can you remove from a cell, right? Now, if I cut off my arm, I'm still me. If I cut off my other arm and my legs, I'm still me. When do I become not me? When you have a cell, what are the things that you can remove and you say it's still a living cell? At what point, or do we even know that it ceases to be a living cell?
Well, there's many things that we can remove and it can still function. It generally doesn't function as well, or we can get it to function differently.
But it's still alive.
Still alive. But there are certain pieces you can't remove. Like if you remove the mitochondria, which
I would never do, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. It's the energy storehouse of the system. It's the thing that's making the energy for us. You pull those out,
yeah,
and you're in big trouble really quickly.
But we still don't know. I mean, this is very fascinating to me that we don't know what life is.
The definition of what life is a really hard definition when you get down to the biochemistry of it. What is it? What is that spark? Very hard to define.
Well, you're saying we don't know.
We don't know.
I mean, isn't it odd? Because the cell is, you know, in terms of the things we're discussing, rather large.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, so the idea that, we're not talking about quantum physics. We're not talking about quarks. We're talking about cells. And you're telling me we don't know what it is that makes a cell alive. We just know that it is alive.
Right. And if we remove something, if the cell just dies, to define what it is that we've just lost, it's very hard. What caused it to just stop like this?
What caused it? And we don't know.
We don't know. Very hard to understand.
I find that this conversation really fascinating because I've never heard this in my life. You talk about skating along on assumptions. I've never thought about this. What is life? What makes life? When we come back, we still won't have the answer, but we'll keep talking about it. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to James Tour. Sometimes you stay, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside the darkened door where blues won't haunt you anymore. With a brave heart, free lover's soul, come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't. Hey, Albin.
Hey, Eric.
I want to tell you about Relief Factor.
Please do.
I take Relief Factor.
I know you do.
Every day. And in fact, I take it right now, but I can't because I'm doing this commercial.
Oh.
But honestly, every day I take Relief Factor. These are all botanicals. They're natural. They're people. I talk to people all the time. They say, I've got this ache and this pain. And I say, have you tried Relief Factor? And they say, no. I say, listen, as your friend, $19.95, you get the quick start pack. You go to relieffactor.com. You will know at the end of 3 weeks, probably before, whether it works for you. But it works for tons of people. It works for me. It's why I take it. It's all natural. You don't have to worry about toxicity. For example, Michael from Connecticut writes in. He says, Relief Factor helped to almost completely eliminate my elbow pain when I could not find any other solution. It's a great product. It's helped with a lot of other aches and pains. Since I started Relief Factor, I feel like I've got more energy and generally feel better. Holy cow. Folks, I don't want to promise too much, but I will tell you, for many people, Relief Factor is a life changer. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
Hey folks, I like to have fun, but I want to talk to you about something that I take very seriously, the Bible. If you believe the Bible is the Word of God as I do, you know it's important to study and understand what it says. And today we're very fortunate to have some very powerful tools to help us study the Bible. The team at Faith Life recently launched their latest version of Logos Bible software, Logos 8. When I heard users calling Logos 8 the best upgrade in years, I knew how to try it for myself. And you know what? They're right. Logos is easier to use and faster than ever. Just tell Logos what you want to study, and it walks you through each step, laying out the books and tools you need along the way. It really is serious Bible study made simple. And now Logos 8 is more affordable than ever. In fact, you can try it for free. So if you're a self-described Bible geek who wants to add hundreds of resources to your study library, or you simply want to take your personal devotions to a new level, I urge you to give Logos 8 a try. Try Logos 8 for free. Go to logos.com/Eric or call 888-670-3148 and get started right away. That's logos.com/Eric.
Ask yourself, if you built a van for your business, where would you start? At the beginning, of course. With the people who invented the work van over 100 years ago, Mercedes-Benz. You'd give your new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter advanced technology and safety to keep you connected and protected. You'd make it available in diesel and gas, and there would be thousands of configurations and upfits to choose from. You build it right here in the USA, because your one-of-a-kind business deserves nothing less than a van that's built for you. Introducing the all-new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, the safest, most innovative Sprinter yet, starting at just $33,790. Built for you, the all-new Sprinter, built in the USA. Mercedes-Benz, vans, born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Equipment described as optional. 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter available soon.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric Metaxas. If you know MyPillow, you already know how effective it is. On this program, we joke half seriously that it is the official pillow of Rip Van Winkle. Mike Lindell dedicated himself to inventing a pillow that works, that's effective. It's not a joke. I mean, if you know his story, we've interviewed him on the program. It's an amazing story, right? Okay, well, if you're looking for a great night's sleep, right now is the perfect time to get your first MyPillow. By the way, if you already know how great it is, you can get them for everybody you know. But I say that because right now on this program, to my listeners, there is a special offer, a four-pack offer that includes two premium MyPillows with two go-anywhere pillows plus free shipping. You have to call 800-978-3057 and use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or call 800-978-3057. Do it now. Folks, the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Dr. James Tour of Rice University in Houston. And Jim, I was introduced to you by my friends, the Blakemores, Elizabeth and Alan Blakemore, dear, dear friends of ours. And I was so excited to get to know you. This is some months ago in Houston. We got talking and I said, for crying out loud, I've got to get you on my radio program because this is fun. At least it's fun for me. I hope it's fun for somebody to listen to. We're just talking about life. What is life? I have often recently, I don't know how this popped into my head, but it's very similar to what you were saying, that when does a cell die? What did we just lose? Or what is the spark of life? And we don't know. I thought the same thing about a human being. In other words, when a person dies, what just happened? And why can't we just fix that thing and start them up again? In other words, how is it life? How is life something that is irrevocably lost? Why is it irrevocably lost? In other words, if we are only material beings, then that idea ought not to exist, that life is irrevocably lost. We can restore it. We can, you know, bring it back. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, life has a lot of mysteries for us in science from a human being standpoint, but also right down to the basic cellular standpoint. And to suggest that we understand these things and that we can create it, we've never done it. If we can create it, show me. It's never been done. So how is it on some prebiotic earth, under some rock, it's all of a sudden going to form? When we put in all this expertise and all this knowledge and the fundamental blueprint for life, we have no idea where the blueprint comes from. What is the order of the nucleic acids within the DNA? How those are ordered? We have no idea where the order came from. That's the blueprint.
But to give somebody an idea of how complex that blueprint is, how complex is that blueprint? You're talking about, you know, on a simple single cell level to get life. What is the blueprint necessary there? How complex is it?
Well, one needs right now about 13,000, and I will explain this, 1,300 protein coding genes, about 1,300 protein coding genes. Those are the genes that are going to make the enzymes, which are the little nanomachines that build the cell. So you need about 13,000 instruction sets to make the simplest bacterium that we know of. So if you were to do this on a macro scale, the human being, the number of codes, the number of enzymes that you need and instruction sets that you need to build an entity like this is huge. This is the blueprint. Just think, where does the blueprint come from?
Do you think that many scientists today might be scared about looking into this, that it's humbling, and they would rather just kind of keep going without, you know, digging into this?
Well, I think that most scientists don't think deeply about it because they're consumed with their little area of science.
Right.
Those scientists that are working on origin of life, I think that they know that they are really far from this. And the extrapolations and the things that they say have gotten way out of hand. That's why when I'm calling them on it, they're not contesting.
They're not contesting
what
you say.
They're not contesting.
Okay. They're not contesting, but neither are they accepting.
Well, yeah, they're not accepting, and they're beginning to write their papers a little bit differently, watching out about the extrapolations they make, because they know I'm going to call them on it now. You say this, how does that happen? And I'm even seeing the way they're writing their papers, they're trying to tone down their extrapolations. But it's gone too far. Everybody is confused about this thing, from professors, even science professors, right down to school kids, who think that we understand life and its origin and how the thing propagated.
This is, this is so dramatic, that we can come along. I was telling you that it's got to be close to 30 years ago, the Atlantic Monthly had a cover article on the subject of what we know about the origins of life in the so-called prebiotic soup. And I remember reading it and thinking, whoever wrote this was honest, that we basically haven't a clue. In other words, it's one thing to talk about evolution or this or that, but just to talk about how life came into being from nothing, they were admitting in this article almost 30 years ago that they didn't have a clue. And it was astounding to me then to read this, because I thought, this is the first time I've ever heard this, because you get the impression from the culture, from schools, from everywhere, that life just evolves. I mean, they make these cracks about, oh, we found another exoplanet, 40,000 light years away, we discovered an exoplanet that might have water on it. And they basically say, and if it's got water on it, we know, fish are going to be popping out of that puddle any second, which we know is crazy. But scientists seem to go along with this. They don't question this. But you're saying that it's about time we did.
Right. And if you pin them down on it, if you get them alone and you say, do you understand any of this? Show me how this. I've never had anyone to say, yes, I understand. I've never had anyone. Publicly, they don't say it. But privately, all of them agree with me.
Well, I know, for example, Dr. Francis Collins, he's the head of BioLogos and, hugely respected scientist. Does he talk about this, or is this not something he talks about?
Yeah, he doesn't address origin of life. He will address universal common descent, which is the going line for an evolutionary process. But once you've got something like that, you're already way down the line in biology. We're talking right now about origin of life. And most geneticists and those who are strongly into understanding their understanding of universal common descent will agree with me concerning origin of life when I pin them down.
They will agree with you.
They will agree with me.
This is dramatic. I mean, do you think we're at, I'll call it a singularity? I mean, if we were to, you're going to call for a moratorium, you've called on this program for a moratorium on this kind of research. This seems like a big moment to me in terms of science. Am I wrong?
It would be a big moment to say we don't understand and we're going to have to confess to this and tell the community we're clueless and what you came up with from your textbook is wrong.
But that's what science is supposed to do, because science is about science.
Right. But science does check itself. That we pride ourselves on. And we're bringing in a big check here.
A big check. Well, we'll be right back with Dr. James Tour. His website is jmtour. That's jmtour.com.
Food for the Poor, we vetted them. They're an organization working with starving families in Haiti. We're doing a fundraise just this month, and we're a little bit behind, so we want to urge you to go to our website, metaxastalk.com.
I remember feeling so desperate and so trapped. I was surrounded by family and friends that loved me. Any one of them would have listened to me, but I was so afraid of opening up to them, too embarrassed to talk about what was causing me so much pain. It felt like torture to be so close to people that would have loved to help me and yet too embarrassed to ask for help.
And then a few weeks ago, I heard about Faithful Counseling here on the radio. Christian counselors, fellow believers, trusted therapists who not only share my faith, but could actually help me. They want to give you a free week so you can try them out. You can begin a conversation by text or phone, even video conferencing, in the privacy of your own home. Why not give it a try? If it's not for you, cancel during your first week and you won't pay a dime. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The House had been scheduled but has postponed the vote on an anti-hate resolution after an upheaval that split Democrats.
The debate raged after freshman Congresswoman Ilhan Omar said Israel supporters were pushing lawmakers to take a pledge of allegiance to a foreign country.
I do not believe that she understood the full weight of the words.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the resolution will not name Omar, but will condemn anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, white supremacy, and other forms of hate. Florida's Ted Deutch was among those who wanted it specifically aimed at anti-Semitism, while wondering why a party that touts diversity had such a messy public debate about how to call out bigotry.
This shouldn't be so hard.
Sagar Magani at the White House.
Ahead of the closing bell, the Dow is down 253 points. This is SRN News.
Just can't stop scratching. Struggling to get relief from itching due to your atopic dermatitis, also known as eczema? If so, you may qualify for a clinical study testing an investigational medication for the itch associated with atopic dermatitis. Qualified participants will receive study-related care at no charge. Call 1-844-777-4824, 1-844-777-ITCH, or visit advandastudy.com for more information on how to participate. Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Pick up two bottles of LicoChops. Get the third bottle free.
New improved LicoChops with omega-3, omega-6, vitamin E.
And now, six extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try LicoChops. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.com.
They're gonna put me in the movies. They're gonna make the big star out of me. We'll make the film about a man that's sad and lonely. And all I gotta do is act naturally.
Hey folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show, talking to Dr. James Tour of Rice University, nano engineer and organic chemist. No. Is that it? You're simply an organic chemist.
Yes.
So that's very easy for me to say. We're talking about so much here. It's important. This all brings us to, you know, when you're talking about the origins of life, you always want to say, okay, I'll give you this. I'll give you lipids and this and this. But then how do you get from here to here? And then, I'll give you that. How do you get to a cell? How do you get from a cell to a it brings us eventually to the subject of evolution itself. What can you say about that briefly, because we've just got a few minutes left in this hour?
So if we do have a cell, then we can begin to talk about evolution. So what we've talked about so far is prebiotic en route to trying to get a cell. Once you have a cell, then you have to consider, how did that cell start making other cells, start dividing into other cells, and then those other cells start forming into the larger organism.
Right.
And so we're going beyond single cell organisms to larger organisms and eventually to all the fish and the birds and the mammals. Where do we go with that? And so that's a different topic than origin of life. Origin of life is primarily chemistry. It is a chemical question.
Right.
Once you start talking about evolution, then we start talking about biology. You can't have biology without life. But once we've got life, then biology will start to take over. But we're still married to chemistry because there's a field called biochemistry. All of this is controlled at the molecular level.
Okay, so if I were to ask you bluntly, do you believe
that a species has ever evolved into a completely different species, what would you say?
Well, I find it interesting that whenever people ask these sort of questions, they ask it in the context of belief, as if it's a religion. Nobody's ever asked me, do I believe in chemistry or do I believe in physics? So even the way we discuss this is revealing to this area.
So then I'll rephrase it. Has science ever shown that one species can evolve into another species?
Yes, it depends on what your definition is. So in other words, there are plant species that for some reason their DNA has doubled, and one could call that a different species. So that's why just using those sort of terminologies can be somewhat misleading and confusing. But I can begin to show you and describe to you some of the problems that there are within the area of evolution. And many people will agree with me, others may disagree. But to just use the simple terms and to say nobody's ever seen this, well, if you're doubling the DNA, one could argue that, yes, you've gotten a new species of plant here. So there are examples of that.
Yeah, but you're saying one could argue it's a little tenuous in the sense that it's not.
Right.
I'm talking about, can a frog become a giraffe, or can a fish become a land creature, or can a whale become a cow, or a cow become a manatee? Fortunately for you, we're out of time. We're going to have to pick this up in a separate hour. Dr. James Tour of Rice University.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.